Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Penny and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Today is Thursday, December 12th, 2019, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 75. And it starts with the paragraph, we pocket our pride, in only that one paragraph. Today's readers are Lauren N., Nadia B., and Erin L. That's probably Erin I. And the newcomer greeter will be Elena A.M., and the host for the second hour, Jody E., and not to be forgotten, the 12 steps are going to be read by Phyllis D., and the 12 traditions, Christina J. The reference numbers for yesterday, which was Wednesday, December 11th, are the 7 a.m. meeting, 13,799. 13799. And the 10 a.m. yesterday meeting, 13,802. 13802. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any private or public organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is this. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Phyllis D. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Phyllis. Star one.
Good morning, everybody. This is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Phyllis D., thank you very much. And now I'm going to ask Christina J. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Happy to be of service. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And now here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 75, one paragraph only, that's the second paragraph, which begins with, "We pocket our pride." And I'm going to ask our friend Lauren N. to read that for us. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Penny. Can you hear me?
Oh, loud and clear, Lauren.
We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Thank you all for being here every day and for reminding me that I get to work this program really hard every day. Lauren N. from New York, I am a grateful recovered sugar addict and compulsive overeater who has been recovered for almost 3.5 years now, or 3 years now, and it's just incredible to think that I am on the other side of this illness, or at least for today, I'm on the other side of this illness. If I keep working my steps as hard as I do, I will stay there one day at a time, God willing. Based on this reading today, we pocket our pride. Oh my God, my pride was in my way all the time, and I really did not realize it. I didn't see how my pride stopped me from getting better. I thought I knew the right way to do it, and I tried them all. Believe me, I tried them all. Our fears fall from us, and we begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. You know, it's amazing to me. In the beginning, I used to just say the prayers thinking I'm going to act as if. And sometimes I still have that problem, that I have to act as if. But more than not, I do it, and I know I'm connected. I feel connected. I feel connected, if nothing else, to the gods with skin that I hear every morning on this line. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. How incredible it is to feel that I have my higher power at my back, holding my hand or touching me on the shoulder, and just reminding me that he, she, it is there every minute of every day. And sometimes I'm unaware of that. And sometimes I fall into the human condition and question. And when I do, just reaching out to another fellow makes me feel connected again. And thank you all for being here one day at a time. I'm so grateful to have you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lauren. And okay, so now it's time, just a minute, to get names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Remember, if you've shared in the last 2 or 3 days, please think about giving other people a chance. And please say your name just once, and I'll do my best to hear you. Who would like to share?
Diane Craig. S. And Diane R.
Wait a minute. Diane, Craig, and who R?
Nessa R.
Nessa R.
Amy G.
Who was after Nessa?
Tina
Amy
F.
G.
Tina. Amy G.
Barbara.
Rachel. Rachel K.
Nancy
who
P.
Say?
U L.
Someone who's last
M.
A.
Nancy P.
U L.
Larry K.
Larry K. Okay, here's what we have. And do I have you first for the next group? So we have Diane, and please give me your initial of your last name when you share. Diane, Craig F, Nessa R, Tina, Amy G, and Larry K. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Penny. This is Diane B in New York, gratefully recovered compulsive eater. And thank you, everybody, for your service today and every day. So I just wanted to, I love this paragraph because we have promises here. These are the fifth step promises. But every time we see promises in this book, we have to take some kind of action before we receive them. And here it says, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. And I love the wording illuminating and then dark cranny because I can't live in darkness. I've tried it. It doesn't work. My secrets can't live. Actually, my secrets live in dark. I'm sorry. I take that back. I live in darkness. My secrets live in darkness. But as soon as I start talking about them, share them with someone else, give them to my higher power, they become illuminated. And once there's light on them, then they can't live. The light kills the secretiveness. The light kills the darkness that lurks within me. And we talk about living in the sunlight of the spirit. Well, I can't get to that sunlight of the spirit. I can't illuminate every twist of character unless I give it away. And that's what we're talking about here in the fifth step, giving it away. And then, like I said, the promises come right after that. We don't even have to do very much. We just have to talk to someone. And so, like, you know, it just, it's amazing to me how whenever I come across promises in this book, and I love that there are promises, it gives me so much hope, that, but there's always something I have to do first. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane B. And next we have Craig F., and he'll be followed by Nessa R. Hi, Craig.
Hi, good morning, Penny. This is Craig F., recovered in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Of course, this is a wonderful paragraph, and it does have a fifth step promises in it. But the thing I want to point out is the qualifiers here. And the qualifier isn't if you pick the right person to give your fifth step to. The qualifier isn't if you filled out the right forms or if you did the right clerical procedure. The qualifier is that we illuminated all the corners, that we pocketed our pride. The qualifier is on me to be open and honest, and which certainly wasn't my nature up to then. My nature, the character I had cultivated was, you didn't get to see what was going on inside me. You know, that was mine, and I put up a front, and it's telling me the front has to be down, and you know that I've been beaten into a state of reasonableness by the food and by the results of the food, and then the front comes down, and when the front comes down, and I'm ready at least to one person and to God to admit the exact nature of my wrongs. Then those promises come true, and for me they did. And this last time around, you know, I spent a lot of years doing this step half-ass, not admitting to everything. You know, there were secrets I wouldn't tell, and when I finally got around to doing it fully, giving myself fully to the process, it was like a 1,000-pound weight came off my shoulders, and then I felt the nearness of my Creator more fully than I ever thought I would or could. And it's good sometimes as life goes on to remind myself of that moment. And one of the ways I get reminded is by helping other people that are willing and ready to do those steps and to be reminded what it did for me, because I see what it does for them. And when I do that, I'm renewed and invigorated, and my faith in this process and my faith in my higher power is renewed. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. So Nessa R., and then we're going to have Tina after Nessa. Good morning, Nessa.
Hi, good morning, Vision for You. My name is Nessa R., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. To me, the statements, we pocket our pride and go, we are delighted and our fears fall from us, are all related. I came into the rooms almost 17 years ago. I've been recovered for 8 by the grace of God through the working of the 12 steps and entire abstinence. But the very first meeting that I attended then, all gave me these ominous warnings. Oh, wait till you get to step 4. And, you know, I learned through my own personal experience that what people fear is not step 4. It is step 5, you know. If I could do a solitary self-appraisal, that would be fine. But disclosing my dirty little nasty secrets to everybody, it's like, oh my gosh, people are going to know what I'm really like. And then nobody's going to like me. Everybody's going to think poorly of me. They're going to know I'm a fraud, you know, and on and on and on and on. And the experience that I have with my current sponsor just debunked all that, aside from being a sympathetic, understanding, compassionate ear, She said to me two words that just changed everything. She said, me too. Me too. She identified with me. She let me know I'm not terminally unique. I'm not the only one who has done these things. I'm not the only one who has thought these things. And I'm not a horrible human being. So, you know, that took pocketing of the pride, you know, putting away the fear that people are going to find me out. And then I was delighted. I was delighted to find out that, hey, you know, other people have done what I've done, and they're nice people, and they're good people. And so that fear fell from me, the fear that I was the scum of the earth, an unworthy, unlikable, unlovable individual. And I learned a lesson from that in that, you know, when I take step five, so step 10 for that matter, I need to find a way to identify what my sponsee or the other person is saying, that I can find the same thing in myself, that I have done something similar, so that I can say me too and offer that reassurance. You know, that we are not bad people trying to get good. We are sick people trying to get well, and that we are all in the same boat. We have all done the same things, thought the same thoughts, felt the same feelings. And to me, it was a very spiritual experience just because of that. And I hope that I can continue carrying that on and passing that on to others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa. Tina? You're next, and then you'll be followed by Amy G. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Penny. Thanks so much for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Well, again, great stuff. You know, I am so grateful that I am on the same page as everyone else who shared today. And, you know, one of the things, and I have to say this because this was my experience, you know, the best reason I did this, because they told me if I skipped this step, I would not overcome drinking compulsive eating. And that's why I did it the last time. There was no other virtue, let me just tell you. And I'm so grateful that I did, that I read the black on the page and did what it said. And I had that experience, you know. And also, you know, I had to pocket my pride. You know, one of the first things my sponsor said to me when we sat down, you know, and we invited God in, and she asked me, first thing she asked me, is there anything that you have planned to not tell me? You know, and I'm so grateful that she asked me that question. Fortunately, that time I didn't have anything I wasn't going to say. There had been times before that I thought, well, I'm not telling anybody this, you know, because I am also that person who's, you know, I want the world to see a certain character. And, you know, in this process, transformation, you know, the real me comes out, and I have to have some humility and to pocket that pride. And I did that, you know, and I don't always do that, but for this moment I did. And what a great freedom it was, you know, because those promises did come true, you know, and I was delighted, you know, and I could look the world in the eye and all that stuff, you know, and I could be alone at perfect peace and ease. I love that sentence, you know, because I can't always be alone at perfect peace and ease. But that happens when I am being authentic, when I am letting another person and God, you know, really know who I am, and I feel the nearness of my Creator. And then it says this, it says, we may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. How cool is that? You know, how cool is that? We're walking, you know, hand in hand, you know, on the broad highway, you know, and I love that that happens for me. It doesn't always happen for me, but it does. When I do the work, when I do the deal, I get the result, you know, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to be on the same page with other people in the rooms and to have this life beyond my wildest dreams and to be free and not have the insanity going on 24/7. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Tina S. And now we welcome Amy G., and she'll be followed by Larry. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you for your service and everyone for an awesome meeting. I, too, am going to talk about this pride. We pocket our pride and go to it. You know, I wouldn't have thought I had much pride. You know, this disease ravished me. You know, I hated myself. I hated what I was doing to myself, but with the illuminating work of the inventory and realizing on those third and fourth columns of my ambitions and where was I being dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid, became a very big revelation to me that I had a ton of pride, and it was a reverse kind of pride that I thought for sure that I was worse than anyone else. I mean, here's this inventory. Look at me. I must be worse. I must be terminally unique. And understanding that the lie that I was believing in was this delusion that I, for sure, if I had revealed my true self, if I illuminated to you and showed you, withholding nothing, who I was, that for sure you would judge me, that I would find judgment. Because you know what? I judged myself. I thought that that's all that I was this terrible person, that I couldn't control my eating, and that, oh, God, now I'm a compulsive overeater, and look what I've done. It was complete reverse pride, and I had held on to that as a way to hate myself and feed my disease and give myself plenty of excuses to eat. And the realization was, instead of finding judgment and criticism, I found love and acceptance. I found it not only from you, but I could start to see it in myself, because I started to realize that I could be empowered through these inventories to understand from whence my thinking came. And it was unbelievable to me. My eyes became open. You know, this idea of being at ease with oneself. I mean, why did I eat? Because I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. I couldn't live in my own skin for more than 5 minutes without trying to anesthetize myself. And to be able to walk away from that fifth step and be able to exhale and find some ease with myself was an unbelievable experience for me. That was the start of my spiritual experience, is to understand that God in this program was doing something that I could not do for myself. I had to self-medicate to be in my own skin and find any kind of sense of ease. And this program was starting to give me something that was different than I had never experienced before. By taking a leap of faith and in complete fearlessness, in fear and fearlessness, telling someone about me, I started to find out about me and about my higher power. And it was that fourth dimension they're talking about, folks. It is unbelievable. This work, you know, pain of discipline or pain of regret, this took discipline, this inventory. It took guts to ask someone to turn it over to. But boy, the rewards were amazing. Talk about a broad highway. I started to walk with my fellow man and my fellow compulsive overeater. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy G. And now Larry K., Chicago calling.
Hey, Penny. Good morning. Good morning, Larry K., recovered. Love the shares this morning. It reads here that it says, our fears fall from us, we begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. So it's interesting to me that our fears fall from us, only then do we feel the nearness of our Creator. And throughout history, spiritual leaders have known that fear that is manifested in a variety of ways is a fundamental barrier to feeling the very nearness of our Creator that we want. In other words, that closeness with God. I want to talk about habituation. I know you're saying, what the hell is that? Well, you know, step five for me is about habituation. So many of these things in this program is about habituation. In other words, getting used to and adapting to doing something that created fear. It created fear for me to open myself up and to be transparent. And, you know, with habituation, what happens is those anxieties begin to dissipate. Our nervous system doesn't get quite as aroused over time as we continue to share our truth with other human beings. And the familiar things of doing this process get boring almost. And this mechanism is hardwired into the human, you know, brain. It has a clear adaptive value because through habituation, we just get used to doing these sorts of things. And it's kind of like, you know, think of, driving a car. The first time we get in a car, maybe we're 15, 16, 17, 18, and we're anxious because it's new. When's the last time you were driving in a car? You may be driving now that you're anxious about getting in the car and positioning your hands correctly. Why? Because you've gone there.
Larry, we lost you. I guess that's Larry's having trouble there. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Yes, Penny.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Okay, we'll trust that Larry's okay. He just had some technical difficulties. And thank you, Larry.
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're back.
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I got muted. Yeah, so I guess just wrapping up, Penny. You know, what happens is for me is that I began to get used to, now it's second nature for me, Penny. It's second nature for me to share those things that I felt such shame about, you know, and I can do that. And that's where, and when the fear is removed, then I feel the closeness to God. Then God could begin to work in my life when I do that. So with that, I pass. Thanks, Penny.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you came back. Okay, before we go to the next group of people who want to share, let me just remind everyone that we are on page 75, second paragraph. We pocket our pride, just that one paragraph. And anyone who has not shared in the last couple of days, we'd like to hear from you. I've already had Joel, Nancy P.
Pamela.
Rachel K.
Minute, hold on. Somebody with the last initial N.
Katie T.
O'Ray B.
Okay. Hold on a minute, please. I have Duell, Nancy P., and Katie, and there was someone with the last initial of N.
Carmela G.
Carmela G.
Barbara E.
Barbara.
Anne M.
Who was after Barbara E., please?
Anne M.
Nadia B.
O'Ray B.
Okay, please bear with me. As you can imagine, sometimes it's not so easy to... Ann. Was it Ann? And someone's helping me out there. Okay, here's the lineup. We have Duell, Nancy P., Ann N., Katie, Carmela G., Barbara E., and Nadia. So, Duell, will you get us started? Good morning, Du.
Good morning. This is Duell, recovered compulsive overeater from New York. You're doing a wonderful job, Penny. I give it to you. You're doing a great job.
So here, what
I see is that every time we take a step, there's a promise. And I remember years ago when I came first into program, one of the big book dumpers would say, these are checkpoints, right? Like to see if you're taking the step right. So if you are, you know, delighted, check. If you can see the world in the eye, check. If you have perfect peace and ease, check. If your fears fall from you, check. If you're close, nearest to your creator, check. If the drink problem disappeared, check. But if these promises are not coming true in some sort of way, by the time you get here, that means that you need more work to be done, you know, and you need to review back and go back and see where it is that you're not getting these promises. And that was really important for me to hear in early recovery, because I was like, okay, you know, I need to know if I'm taking these steps correctly. All the steps have promises except for steps 6, 7, and 8. The rest of them have promises. Step 1 has a promise, right? If I practice entire apps, if I put down my binge food and binge food behaviors, the promise is that I get entire abstinence. Step 2, if I believe in a power greater than myself, the result in the promise is that I commence to get results. And then 3 has promises, 4 has promises. Here we are at step 5, and they're saying, you know, if I do this step correctly, then I should get these promises. And if I'm not getting them, it's because I'm not illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past, right? And it says, the thing that I need to do is withhold nothing and go to it, right? Pocketing my pride and just doing the best that I can. And when I do, and I'm connected to that higher power in the way that the step is to be taken, then these promises should come true. And that's how I know if I'm going to the next phase. The next phase is the next step, right? So each of the steps have these promises to see if I'm doing the step correctly. That's why they're taken in sequential order. That's why we can't skip through the step. That's why we can't, you know, think that I'm going to go from one step to another, right? The promises are there as checkpoints. So look at this. See if you're taking the step right. And if you're not, just go back over it and just do it all over again until you get the promises. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Stu L. Nancy P., you're next, and you're going to be followed by NN. Nancy?
Hi, Penny. Thanks for letting me share. Good morning, everybody. This is Nancy P. from West Newton, Massachusetts. So I had gone through many iterations of the steps without doing a study of the big book. And then I had a sponsor who had discovered this new process, this new thing, and she talked about it with me for a year, like about how her experience, before I thought, huh, I better do this. And so then I got a sponsor, a very a nice woman, adequate, more than adequate, and my entire attitude the entire time through the fifth step was, yeah, I know all that. Can we get to the recovered part? And that came because, I'll give you 9 million guesses, my usual, because I hadn't surrendered. And once I surrendered, once my life had beaten me, you know, into a state of reasonableness, then I was able to shut my mouth and open my mind. And I wrote this stuff, and I was, when I say beaten into a state of reasonableness, I was punch drunk from my horrible experience. And it was only because my sponsor was clear-eyed and clear-minded and took me by the hand and said, do this, do this, and do that, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks, and you'll read your fifth. I just did it like a robot. And when I finished, I did not feel like I was having a spiritual experience. I mean, none of this happened in real time until I completed the ninth step. Then it all sort of came rushing in all at once. But what I learned from the fifth step is when it says here, we began to have a spiritual experience, my personal iteration of that is I began to gain some experience. I sort of look at this as a job. I awakened, and then I began to have spiritual experience, to gain spiritual experience. And so, you know, my journey here has been that I continue to gain spiritual experience. It's not, nothing in this book ever is one and done with me. I have to remember that I'm a type of compulsive overeater that's hopeless. I have to remember that I'm powerless. I have to remember all of these things, and I have to remember that my capacity for spiritual experience is boundless, endless, and it's the journey itself that is the destination for me. That's what I've learned through doing this. And it wasn't painless, but it was fearless because I was beaten into a state of reasonableness, and I was sort of just looking ahead, and I wasn't looking to the side at all. So that was my experience with the fifth step, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nancy. Thank you, Nancy P. And now, Ian N. Are you there, Ian?
Hi, Penny. It's Anne M. M for Monkey from Ireland. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And thanks again for your service, and thanks for calling my name. Love this part. You know, it's step five, and it's the chiseling off of the blocks. You know, and it says, you know, we pocket our pride, and pride means excessive high opinion of oneself. And mine was the exact opposite. I had low self-esteem. I was masked with everything. And that's what I was doing, you know, and to uncover in step four and discover as well in step four. And now I'm discarding, and that's what step five is, you know, disclosing all to another recovered member. And I'm so grateful, you know, that I had the willingness from my higher power to do this. And that willingness took, you know, it took courage given to me by my higher power to go with this to my sponsor. And I was willing to disclose all I could, you know, the interior of my soul, because I wanted the promises. I wanted the freedom from the food. I wanted to be able to look the world in the eye with perfect peace with myself. And I wanted a connection. And that part, you know, our fears fall from us and we begin to feel the nearness of our creator. And that's the part I wanted. I wanted the freedom from the food, but I also wanted that spiritual experience. And it's where, you know, the God becomes real. It's not just a theory. We feel God, the spirit flow through. And what a nice place to be. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand within the sunlight of the spirit. And that's where we go underneath that arch to freedom. And then getting all the promises that the higher power is explained and outlined. I'm so grateful to have this program, to have these meetings and to have service and to have fellows like you people. So thank you so much for letting me share. And thanks, Penny, for the service.
Thank you, Ann. And now we're going to have Katie and then followed by Carmella. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. This is Katie T. in Greenville, South Carolina, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm thankful for all the moderators for herding cats when we are all trying to get on at the same time. A lot of people have commented on the We Pocket Our Pride and Go To It, and I'm going to be there too because I think the quality of what we have to give away in our fifth step relies so heavily on the work that we've done in the fourth step that I'm going to share what a sponsor maybe 11 years ago in California, how she guided me to do my resentments. In the dishonest part, she said, ask yourself, as part of your dishonesty, have I ever had behavior, this behavior that caused me to resent another or something similar to it? So if someone has rejected me because when I wanted them to be my friend, well, have I ever chosen not to be a friend with someone? Sure I have. And this whole Pocket Our Pride is about letting go of either the excessive opinion of ourselves or a defective opinion of ourselves. I'm worse than everybody. I'm better than everybody. So that humility is an even-handed sense of who I am in this world. And in order to do that, I really need to see how I am like other people, that I am just like everyone else. I've heard it said, another bozo on the bus, but to me it's just, I am every other person and they are me. We have all the same pretty much instincts and insecurities, and getting that connection that I'm like these people that I have held these resentments against for 40 years or 2 years or 6 months or 2 minutes was key to seeing myself connected to everyone else and to God. And this is a program of connections. And that made my fifth step so much more valuable and one of the best I've done. So I just wanted to share that this morning. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Katie T. And Carmella G., it's your turn.
Thank you so much, Penny. Thank you all for your wonderful shares and this program. My name is Carmella G., and I am gratefully recovered in New York for this day that is a gift. We pocket our pride. Well, I didn't know I had such pride until I went into this program, and I didn't come into this program to find out who I was. I thought I knew who I was. I just went in this program to lose weight. But this step and these promises was such a gift that I was oblivious to the potential of what this program could do for me. I was a 67-year-old woman being walked through the journey by a young 35-year-old woman who knew the steps and we worked the book. And I had not a clue as to what to expect. And for 6 years, I have been living, pocketing my pride, and not being humiliated the way I used to humiliate myself with my arrogance and my self-will driving me. And when I'd have a conversation, the pompous Carmela, would interrupt people and be rude and not even realize, and then have righteous indignation, always being right and opinionated. And today, the gift of humility, smashing that ego, and the promise, it is so, so beautiful. It fills me with so much joy that I don't need to shove food in to solve that hunger that I had, because it was the hunger of acceptance, the hunger of wanting these people to know I am a good person. So I had to put this facade on, and this step allowed me to break it all down, dig deep inside, and get out the real Carmela and the gifts that I've been given back. The joy that I receive is just such a blessing, and I am no longer humiliating myself with my behavior, but I am being humbled and leveled by realizing I'm not high, 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 nor am I dirt under people's feet. I am right there doing the will of my highest power, reaching out a hand and helping others and being joyful about it. And with that, I pass and thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Carmela G. And Barbara E., you'll be followed by Nadia B.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Penny. You're a miracle of hearing. Well, as a long timer, the first time I did the steps, I misunderstood what it meant. Take what you want, leave the rest. So I did, skipping step 9 altogether and step 5 as well. No need to humiliate myself, I thought. The next time I did the steps, I left some things back too awful to reveal, and again I felt no relief, none of the promises coming true. The third time I did it, I looked for a sponsor who was a no-bullshit kind of lady who expected me to fulfill all the assignments and call her on time. Frankly, her passion scared me, but I knew this time I had to be scrupulously honest. When I completed my 5th step, I felt like rocks had been lifted from my shoulders, as though something miraculous had begun to happen that I didn't understand. My sponsor said not to worry. It would become clear to me when God was ready, and it did. I began to feel the nearness of my Creator and in sync with the spirit of the universe. I didn't understand how this could have happened to a skeptic like me, but that was 2 decades ago of recovery and grateful to be able to pass the message on to others. The book refers to the broad highway and the spirit of the universe several times, and I love those phrases. Page 45, it says, the broad highway is all-inclusive, never exclusive. And on page 55, it says, if our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, and encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. And now again, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe, we feel we're on the broad highway. The spirit of the universe, what a beautiful, hope-filled phrase, to have entered the spirit of the universe, to be able to grow in understanding and effectiveness, to genuinely want to do for others with no expectation of reward, words that put me in a place of love. I was truly amazed at how unburdening myself seemed to set me free. I truly believe that my own special God put this woman in my path at just the right time, and my Creator wants me to be always moving forward, pausing to pray and ask, what can I do to best serve thee? It is my personal experience that there is such wisdom and magic contained within the Big Book. If you haven't felt it yet, wait for the miracle and then stay after it happens. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. And Nadia B.
Thank you so much, Penny. Nadia B. Very gratefully recovered today. My experience is that effective step four with a sponsor that can bring more light in step five helps me to see patterns of behavior, character defects, and beliefs that I could not see because of inadequacy of light where in my spirit. I saw my life for a long time since I started, this behavior of compulsive overeating. I saw my life through a blinder. Today I see it, my character defects, almost like a horse blinders. They put on horses so they cannot see behind and besides themselves so that they don't get spooked. My character defects allowed me to see very narrow, limited paths. I love, I could not see the hand of the spirit because of those obstacles. We are told that we are blocked somehow from the sunlight of the spirit. So I'm looking for what's blocking me. I was promised that I will see the value of looking at my past in a brighter light. I was really not used to this broad highway, and it was scary and it was uncomfortable. But I could start seeing the hand of the spirit because I was looking, at it, walking beside me. The spirit is walking with me. I have never been alone. It was just an illusion of my disease, my fear and my pride. That's what stood between me and the hand. What an experience, this action of step five, and the light that my sponsor brought to the table was, invaluable, sufficient enough. So I get to, today I get to hold that lantern to someone else. I love the 11-step prayer. I'm a channel of that light. I needed to see that light, the light of the spirit, the power of the spirit. I love that Bill calls this, broad highway. And I could just, see how the steps are little by little dissembling my blind spots. And I'm just really, really grateful for doing it with you guys one day at a time. Pat.
Thank you, Carmela, Nadia, and you're going to have to be our last share for today. We've run out of time. I'm sorry to anyone. I know I missed people, and just stay tuned. There's a second meeting, and hopefully you'll share on that meeting. So please join us for that one. It's unrecorded. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and Nadia, going to call on you again to read that selection.
Thank you, Penny. More me. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order.
Nadia, we can't hear you. Nadia? Perhaps she got muted. That's been happening. Erin, are you there to continue?
I'm sorry, here I am.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Aunt Nadia.
This is Erin. I am here.
Will come.
We have Nadia back.
I'm so sorry. It's totally my mess. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you can transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.